APY on savings accounts.
Before we jump into it, on Tuesday, December 10th, from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m., I will be at Barnes & Noble on 960 South Colorado Boulevard for the Wesley Learns Book Fair. Now, here's how you can support. One, you can pre-order a book and have it signed at the store. Two, you can come into the store and stop by and say hi. Three, you can donate one of the books out of the book series to be donated to a child. Now back to our original programming.
This get the rights to be able to put out Charlie Munger, Warren Buffett, not only do these books, but then to bring them to Berkshire and actually sell them at Berkshire. How did you do that?
Well, I was a reporter for 20 years, so I knew how to, supposedly knew how to report, and I was interested in business, and then bought one share of Berkshire in 83, and then came out here and
met it. How much was it in 83?
$980. Quick. It's at 325 now.
Can you explain to people what 325 you're talking about?
$325,000.
That's how much is that now?
Yeah.
And it's having you kept it.
I've had my setbacks and I've done some margin. My wife spends money, but I still have that original share.
Yeah. You still got that original share?
Yeah.
Wow. I was wondering if you let me borrow $5.
Yeah, sure.
But so how did you make that happen? So, like you were saying, you was a reporter. You brought a share. You just came out here on a whim. And you was a reporter for who?
I was with the Birmingham News. And I came out here, and that year it was maybe 300 or 400 people. And I was in there, and I just got to shake his hand.
Wait, 1 second. It was only 300, 400 people at the meeting?
At the meeting.
How many people
come? So you walk up and talk to him.
How many people are here now?
40,000, 42,000.
But back then it was only like
three or 400.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and children of all ages, you are now tuned in to the Prince of Investing show coming all the way live. But last year, I purchased a very interesting book, right? A Permanent Value. It's like an encyclopedia about Buffett, right? Everything. And today what I had to do, I had to reach out to the author, Mr. Andy Kilpatrick, and I had to bring him into the studio to break down some of his Buffettology. He's been coming to the meetings since I was born. I was born in 84. He started coming to the meetings back in 85. So do the math. My whole life he's been coming to these meetings. So one thing I wanted to do, without further ado, let me welcome my guest, author Andy Kilpatrick. How you doing today,
Prince,
sir?
Thank you for having me. Appreciate it. Good to be with you.
Oh, definitely.
Enjoyed last year.
You enjoyed it last year?
Yeah.
You had a little black eye last year, remember?
I did. Yeah. Getting old and falling and all that kind of.
That was the first thing everybody saw in my documentary. I was like, what? Did you hit him? What happened?
I was embarrassed and fell. And I just told my wife I was so stupid. And I'm going back to the hotel. And she said, no, you're going to the hospital. Anyway, everything was fine.
Everything was fine. Well, you look much better.
Well, thank you. Have to.
Now, you wrote this. So how many of these books have you written? You do one every year, every 2 years? How does
Prince,
it go?
Right. Every year or two. Can be one or the other. But since 92, I've done one. So.
Since 92. Yeah. So, I'm not the best at math. That's about, 15 years?
I don't even know the math either, but probably about a dozen versions of it.
Okay. And
sounds like this, I can't get it right.
And the thing about this is when you're doing this, right, last year he brought more than $20 billion worth of Apple stock. And you was telling me today that he's pretty much making a big acquisition, probably in Amazon.
That's what I heard that on CNBC. I don't really know that, but that's mm-hmm. what they were saying. So I'm sure that's right. It's a filing. So apparently he's bought some Amazon, which is very unusual. As you know, he doesn't do many tech investments, says he doesn't understand it. But he has a ton of Apple, and now he's got at least some Amazon.
Wow. Okay. Now, inside of this book, one of the coolest things I remember seeing in here, besides, you and your picture with Buffett and stuff like that or whatnot, one of the coolest things I saw was the IQ test for Berkshire. You remember seeing that?
I do.
How did you get that IQ test for Berkshire?
I have forgotten. I don't have a high IQ, but somebody gave it to me, maybe from Berkshire, mm-hmm. but it's just, I've forgotten. There are 10 or 15 questions, mm-hmm. and They're not easy. But if you can pass those, they said they'll hire you at Berkshire. I think they don't do that anymore, but that was one of the tests. I think they want a lot of other things now.
Yeah, and the question wasn't crazy hard.
No.
I thought it was going to be like, what's pi times 55 square root of geometry? But this is the fact that he had a IQ test for Berkshire. And the thing about how many people work at Berkshire?
Well, at the office itself, the headquarters here in Omaha is 25, 26, 27. That's it. And then the whole company is 380 or 90,000 employees, but the Berkshire headquarters is 25 employees.
Wow. So how does he manage all that stuff with 25 employees?
Well, I think it shows his discipline that a lot of these corporations that have all this stuff and everything and people and offices, you don't need all that. That cuts down the cost. Now, these people are running the administration part of Berkshire, but they're not running Coca-Cola or Apple. Somebody else is running that, but the people that run Berkshire are here in Omaha, and they're 25 all on one small floor, maybe the size of this room, a little bit bigger.
Wow.
And he's in a little office. Wow.
That is crazy.
And he's never moved. He's never done anything, and he just runs it out of there.
Now, over these 30 years of you coming to Berkshire and things like that, have you had the opportunity to meet Mr. Buffett?
I have, yeah.
And how did that go? How did that come about?
He's one of the most fun people you'll ever meet. You think he's intimidating or he's rich and famous and all that. He just tells you funny stories or just all kinds of things. One time I came out here and he had a picture of him. He had, he's a big Nebraska football fan, so he had number one on his jersey, just things like that. One time I came out here and he said, "Andy, you had a story in your book about me picking up a penny." He flipped a penny on the floor. He said, "What do you think?" I said, "Sir, if you lean down and pick that up, we're going to take your picture." He got down there and got the penny.
Picked up a penny off the floor.
Yeah. Just as a joke, but it was to confirm what I had in the book.
Now, tell us more. I saw with all of the superstars that come to this weekend. I know myself.
Like you?
funny guy. Okay. Yeah. But in this book, you had some very cool people. Over your 30 years of coming here, tell me some of the celebrities and business people that come here every year.
Well, you had Susan Lucci and a lot of athletes. He's tried to get Michael Jordan. Michael Jordan hadn't come yet. But
are you trying to get Michael Jordan?
Tried, I think. Well, I think he hadn't come.
Why he didn't call me?
Paul Anka, they used to sing a duet. He'd have people that can sing or dance or, athletes, celebrity from the business world, certainly. Michael Eisner's been here. Tom Brokaw from NBC. You name them, they've been here.
Wow. And so what is over your 30 years, what have been some of the craziest things you've seen?
One was the year Susan Lucci was here from All My Children. Mm. And I think she got in his chair and said, "There's been a takeover here at Berkshire. We're raising the dividend. We're buying back stock." And all the, and he came out and said, "Wait a minute."
Now, how did you, as you know now that I'm an author and written, published two books.
Congratulations.
Coming up on my third. And, with me doing a book with Terrell Davis, I knew that was a pretty strenuous process, NFL Hall of Famer Terrell Davis. How did you nail this, get the rights to be able to put out Charlie Munger, Warren Buffett, not only do these books, but then to bring them to Berkshire and actually sell them at Berkshire? How did you do that?
Well, I was a reporter for 20 years, so I knew how to, supposedly knew how to report, and I was interested in business, and then bought one share of Berkshire in 83, and then came out here and met him.
How much was it in 83?
$980. Quick. It's at 325 now.
Can you explain to people what 325 you're talking about?
$325,000.
That's how much is that now?
Yeah.
And it's telling you kept it.
I've had my setbacks and I've done some margin, my wife spends money, but I still have that original share.
Yeah. You still got that original share?
Yeah.
Wow. I was wondering if you let me borrow
$5. Yeah, sure.
But so how did you make that happen? So, like you were saying, you was a reporter. You brought a share. You just came out here on a whim. And you was a reporter for who?
I was with the Birmingham News. And I came out here, and that year it was maybe 300 or 400 people. And I was in there, and I just got to shake his hand.
Wait, 1 second. It was only 300, 400 people at the meeting?
At the meeting.
How many people
walk up and talk to him.
How many people are here now?
40,000, 42,000.
But back then it was only like
three or 400.
Wow. And okay, go ahead, go on.
Well, I got to maybe not that year, but the next year or two, I at least shook his hand or how are you? And then maybe a year or two later, he says, "Oh, Andy from Birmingham, aren't you?" You know, photographic memory.
Oh, he can remember pretty well.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. He can remember everything, especially numbers. But it just kept growing and growing. And I got to meet him a couple times. I've had one or two meals with him. And I got to sort of know Berkshire. I've been up to the Berkshire headquarters and seen the 25 people. And that was great. It's just a small little office. And he's funny. And just, it's my own thing. It's not him inviting me. It's me just sticking myself to him. And, you know, and, you know, had a great time with it.
And just one day he said, "Hey, you know what? You should just do this book."
He didn't recommend it. I said, "I'm going to do a book on you." And he didn't just jump up and down. It's just me doing the book. And he's been funny about it. And funny, he says, you know, it's pretty short or something like that, or it's too short. And, you know, he's just been fun about it. Mm. But it's me doing the book.
Wow.
He didn't
say, "Hey, go do this."
No.
But I mean, for him to pretty much...
Been very kind about it.
Pretty much co-signed it and things. Because I know dealing with trademarks and dealing with other people's things, that people be very touchy about certain things. So that's a very major accomplishment. You know, me, you know, coming here just for the... Before I came here, I used to read about it. And I didn't know how to get here until, you know... I used to read about it. I didn't think it was possible to go.
Now you can drive all around Omaha.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. With GPS, though. But just to read about it, I used to read about it all the time. Then I found out how to come, you know, then I came. And then now to just meet people over, you know, and then, you know, for them to like, "Hey, you know, invite me back and welcome me with open arms," has been tremendous. But to see you, when I saw this book, I said, "Wow, this is crazy." And when I start to flip through it, it's pretty much an encyclopedia on Buffett. Now, with that being said, I know you didn't put out a new one for 2019. Is there going to be a next one?
Hope so. Planning on. I've been working on it all year. They're hard to put out, and it's hard to do enough. And then, you know, they take 2 or 3 months to print and all that kind of thing. And it's self-published, so it's me doing all this.
Oh, so you don't even have a publisher?
No. I'm the publisher.
Now, how did you work a deal with being able to sell at Berkshire?
Well, they did ask me if I wanted to put the book out. So that's a sign of approval. But I'm doing the book myself, and so I've had a lot of fun with it. So I can do it my own way. So I don't have a publisher cutting it down. I did have a publisher, Prince, for the very first book, a small New York publisher, and they put it out, and you know, did so. But I just, you know, they cut some parts out, and I wanted to do it my way, and they wanted 10 photos, and I wanted 200, and so I, you know, now there's 2,000. So I just want to do it my way, you know, for better or for worse.
Okay, so for all new authors out there, new publishers and authors and stuff like that, like myself, what is your recommendation? Do you recommend going the publisher route or going independent?
If you can go publisher, because then they control you. They own the rights to the book and they sell it and they do a good job or a bad job. But if it's self-published, then you've got the problem of advertising it, selling it, and those are hard problems. But then you get any benefit, which is probably not much, you know, money. It's not a moneymaker. But I just wanted to do it.
So when you say it's not a moneymaker, you're saying it's not a moneymaker for the self-publisher or the publisher route?
Either way.
Either way? So how do you become?
I've tried both.
How do you become? Which way to make it, you know, most successful, you would say?
Well, I like the self-publishing because then I can say, look, I want a long chapter about Coca-Cola. I can write 20 pages rather than having a publisher saying, "Andy, it needs to be 2 pages and you need to have one picture of Coca-Cola." I went, "No, we're going to do it. We're going to follow Coca-Cola the whole way, how he bought it, why, and all of that." So it's just more control over the book, but more problems distributing it.
Okay. Now, the other thing, by you being around Buffett now and Berkshire for 30 years, what are some takeaways? What are some things that you learned?
I think the character of Buffett sort of is embedded now into Berkshire, and it's honest, obviously honesty and character, but a sense of fun about life and a sense of fun about your work and hard work and, you know, doing things with other people in an honorable way, and the thing has grown here just in the hometown of Omaha has a lot of influence, but all these influences, his family was a good family, he had good teachers. He's a brilliant person on his own, but he's had a lot of help. And just, I think teaching people the right way to do things is what he's really after, as well as be successful.
Now, with these companies that he has, you know, that he owns and made, I think revenue last year was $247 billion. And how does he collect all this money to make sure it just, it comes like, get paid like it's supposed to? Because I have a problem getting $5 back from people and they owe me. But how do you manage all of that?
Well, the people at headquarters manage all that. And really all it is, it's simple. If they're not sending you the check, maybe you should check with Buffett. But if Coca-Cola is going to send them a dividend, they send it here to Berkshire Hathaway. And somebody's got to walk it down to the bank. I'm sure it's wired or something, a little more sophisticated. But the company sent him the money. That's all he wants. Send me the money. Wow. Call me if you need me. Other than that, you're on your own. Wow. And then I'll reinvest this money.
Now, that sounds easy.
Yeah, it sounds easy.
You know, it looks easy. It's like, wow, oh, just buy a bunch of Coca-Cola companies, things like that. How, you know, like someone like myself, what advice would you give me?
I would say read all you can about Buffett and Berkshire and anybody else that you like and want to follow and try to imitate them. But you've got to be your own person. You can't do what Buffett did, but you can take his best ideas and do that. And if he says, you know, You need companies that have good management and are long-term and have a good economic position and a good competitive position. Well, those are ideas you can use. You don't want to pick the worst company. You want to pick the best company and the best management. But you can take those ideas and do that in any phase of life. Football. I want to be the best football player for the best team. And that kind of thing. Have the best teammates.
Very interesting. Now, where can people get these books and everything that you have? Where can they get these at, you know?
Amazon.
That's the only place?
That's it.
Only Amazon. You don't do your own website?
A few bookstores in Birmingham might have them, but basically Amazon. Yeah.
I just noticed, look at that. You got Jerry Jones, the owner of the Cowboys.
That's right.
Was that at Berkshire World, or is that the Hall of Fame?
Hall of Fame, yeah.
Now, they put Buffett in the Hall of Fame?
He's not in the Hall of Fame, but he was invited to the Hall of Fame, and he and Paul Anka sang for the Hall of Fame guys.
Wow, that's nice.
That's the kind of sense of humor he has. And I think he's not allowed to have on a Hall of Fame jacket, so it's a fake Hall of Fame jacket.
As if, got it. Like you got a, okay. Because I see here you got Guy Spear. So you know Guy Spear too,
I do. I do, yeah.
Pretty cool guy.
He is.
You got Guy Spear on here. Jack McDonald. Okay, Jack McDonald. Lawrence Cunningham. Phil Black, the owner of Bookworm Store. Yeah. Okay, nice. Then you got Warren Buffett team endorsed on the back too, huh? Now that's nice. That's all right. Now going forward, when you look at what's next, what are you going to take this next? What's next for you?
I sort of keep doing the same thing. Like today, I'm excited about this Amazon purchase. That if I do another book, that would certainly be a chapter. There was a story this week that he put.
Hold on there. Like he just spoke about Amazon. I want to put on this book here. He said more than $20 billion worth of Apple stock was purchased in 2018.
Yeah, it's now worth $50 billion.
So the $20 billion that he purchased in 2018 about is now worth $50
billion.
Wow.
And maybe he's bought more. We'll find out tomorrow. Maybe he hadn't. Apple's buying Apple, buying its own stock back. My question is he buying it also? I don't know.
Let me answer the question. Why does the company buy back their own stock?
Well, it helps invest. You have to get it at the right price under intrinsic value, but it helps lower the shares outstanding. So if you're a shareholder, you've got fewer shareholders, which is what you want. Mm-hmm. If you have 100 shares and now you have 90, you own a little bit bigger percent of the company when they do that.
And why do companies do that? What's the whole purpose? Like, why would they buy back their own stock?
Well, you get just taking shares off the market, and it helps. It's a buyer.
Okay.
And Buffett has now said he may buy back as much as $100 billion of his own stock over a long period of time, perhaps. But it just shows that he thinks that stock, if he buys it, he thinks it's undervalued. Correct.
I think it's undervalued, too. I mean, this is why I look at it, because, you know, I saw something where I forgot. Either he was with Yahoo or somewhere, and he said, hey, you always evaluate, when I buy a company, I always evaluate it like I'm buying the whole company.
Exactly.
He said, I don't just look at, hey, just buying 3 shares of Apple or whatnot. He said, hey, so what is the market capitalization of this company, right?
Right.
And if the market capitalization, and if some people out there, market capitalization is the shares outstanding and the price. So he said this company is pretty much at $100 billion. He looks for revenue to justify that purchase. So he looks and he says, okay, well, the company is making $200-something billion a year. He said, well, would I buy a whole company that was making 200, exactly, you know? And right, that's how he evaluated right, buying a company. And I thought it was a pretty ingenious
yeah,
idea.
Yeah, you're not buying a stock certificate or three shares. Mm-hmm. You're saying, I am a partial owner of Coca-Cola. Now look at it that way.
And, you know, I thought that was very interesting and kind of changed my way of doing quick evaluations of companies. Like, okay, I can examine revenue, look at market capitalization. And he said, you know, always say, hey, if you had $1 billion, and he spoke about this during the Lyft IPO, you know, like Uber, Lyft, right. You know, I know y'all down in Alabama, y'all may not use Lyft down there.
We have Uber.
Y'all got to, but, you know, when Lyft came out, everybody said they evaluated, Lyft was a hot IPO. Lyft was evaluated at $25 billion. And he looked at it, he said, they don't have the revenue to justify $25 billion. And he said, hey, when I go to buy a company, I don't look at the future and stuff like that. I look at how much money. And he said, if I had $25 billion, it's so much other things that I can buy versus buying a company like Lyft that pretty much has zero revenue that was coming in. I think it was maybe close to $1 billion. So he said, how can you justify being worth $25 billion? And that really kind of, that's why I come to these meetings to hear him, which I will sit back and listen to him tomorrow, take notes, and to season myself to one day.
Good.
I don't, you know, because I say, hey,
the next Warren Buffett.
I won't say all that, but but if I, how does the saying go? If you shoot for the stars, if you miss, you land on the clouds. You know, if I had 1% of his success,
we all would be happy. Yeah, yeah. Maybe I'll even split it with you.
Okay. Now, before we get out of here, is there anything else that you want to leave the people of Omaha with, and Denver and Hawaii, or whatever?
Well, it's been a lot of fun to come to Omaha. Mm-hmm. We have friends, and we see friends all 3 or 4 days, and party, and have a good time.
And you party?
Yeah, party. I'm a little old for it, but I still like to party.
See, that's how you failed the last time, right?
Well, it's a great city, and great place, and great to see. You know, we drive around, see his house, and see people and friends, and go to the annual meeting and have a ball.
Do you go to Grotz Steakhouse?
Haven't been in many years, but have been there many years also. He goes every year.
What steakhouse you go to? What's your go-to spot that you go here?
Well, we've been to Spencer's a couple times near the Hilton Hotel.
Spencer's? What is that?
I think it's Italian steak, fish.
Oh, that sounds a little too expensive for me. I probably got to go to Dairy Queen.
Go a few times. Dairy Queen. Buffett would approve of that.
He'd approve of that? Okay.
He eats McDonald's and Dairy Queen and junk food. Yeah. Don't ask him about his diet, as you know.
Wow.
But who knows? It works for him.
Nice. Well, I'm going to jump out of here, and I want to say thank you for stopping by. Thank you for coming. I'm definitely.
Prince, thank you, sir. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you.
A pleasure. A lot of fun.
Definitely. For everybody out there, don't forget to hit that like, subscribe, comment, and share button if you're catching this on social media. For the people that's catching here in Omaha, thank you for tuning in. We're going to be covering the Berkshire 2019 annual meeting with myself. The people that catch us out in Hawaii, thank you for tuning in. But until the next video, podcast, cartoon, or whatever else crazy you see me do around the globe, peace, be safe, I'm out, and thank you.